Oh, praise God. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share with you what He has placed on my heart. And so I'm going to go ahead and get right into the lesson. The topic of this lesson is, God said, I'm taking you into a dark place. That looks like now faith is. It's like the rubber meeting the road. It's time for you to apply everything that you have learned. Now faith is. Now, I was looking at Luke 1, and it is written, Luke 4, 1, and it is written, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes we feel that if the Holy Spirit leads us, or when He leads us, it will always be beside quiet waters. But that is not necessarily true. He led Jesus into the desert for a long and difficult time of testing. And He may lead us into difficult situations. When facing trials, first make sure you haven't brought them upon yourself through sin or unwise choices. And if you find no sin to confess or unwise behavior to change, then ask God to strengthen you for your test. Finally, be careful to follow faithfully wherever the Holy Spirit leads. Amen. Now, of course, I've had a dream, and then I want to share this dream with you. And in the dream, it has different symbols, and I know what they represent because the Holy Spirit had given me revelation knowledge of what they represent, and I'm going to share that with you. So this is my dream. I was in my comfort zone. That was my bedroom. And while I was there, I had a lamp on, and I had a guest in my room, and he was taking a nap on my bed. That was my son. I went to sit in my recliner, and also while I was in my room, God was talking to me, and His voice was audible. Now, that's also how the Holy Spirit, you can be in your comfort zone. The Holy Spirit is just breaking things down to you. He's just talking to you, just communing with you. It says here, what I do remember Him saying was at the latter part of our conversation, He said, I'm taking you into a dark place. Well, my response was, no, I'm not ready. You know I'm not really ready for no dark places. You know I don't like dark places. No. I then turned to my son to wake him up, and I saw a cat, a dragon. And the dragon, you know those different salamanders or them lizards, them big old things? It looked like one of those type of dragons. And I saw a scorpion. I just knew that each one of them were dangerous. So I warned him to be alert before he stands up to get out of the bed. I believe when God says, I'm taking you into a dark place, I believe that how you act and how you respond while you're in that dark place will determine how long you will stay there. How you act or how you respond while in that dark place will determine how long you will be there. Our character is to reflect the character of Jesus, and regardless to what situation that we may be in. Amen. Now let's talk about the different symbols that stood out to me regarding this dream. The first one was about being in my comfort zone. And I said my comfort zone was my bedroom. Your comfort zone could be your job, your home, plenty of money, Your comfort zone can also be your church home, a church that you've been raised in for years and years and years. Or your comfort zone can be being around your children and being around your family. Well, God can take you away from your comfort zone so that he may strengthen you, that may he may develop you in more of him. So he will remove us out of our comfort zone for seasons, just for the strengthening and the development and the growth that he desires us to continue in. My second point is the lamp. The lamp, looking at Psalms 119, 105, it is written, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Now that lamp was on in that room, and that lamp represents the word of God was all around me. The lamp, the word is lit in my life. The word is in me. Now we need to have the word, because when God says, "I'm taking you into a dark place," remember I said, now faith is. That's like the rubber meeting the road. Are you going to really operate in what you have been taught and what you have learned? Or what you know. Sometimes you can hear a person say, I had to put my faith down and go ahead and get crunk or something like that. But no, that's not reverting. God would not have us to revert back to our old ways. He would have us to continue to walk in maturity in him. Amen. Now, third point was well, I'll share. My third point was I'm taking you into a dark place, and I was going to share with you my dark place experience. But just depending on time, I'll share with you at the end of this broadcast. So we're going to go to the fourth point. The fourth point was I was getting ready to wake up my son. And when I have dreams and visions of my son, that doesn't necessarily mean my son. That's God's sons. God's sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. The mature ones. Listen to the scripture. Because again, I was getting ready to wake him up. And I have been sharing with you on the broadcast for several occasions about God talking to me about being asleep. And this is a very important point that it needs to be heard and understood, and then the people respond. It's time to wake up. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assembled, and come to you. Your sons come from afar, your daughters are carried on the hips. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephrah and all of Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth will serve you. They will be acceptable as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Arise and shine, for your light has come." I believe that God has mandated me to give the call to wake up. And I'm calling out in the name of Jesus, in the land of the living, arise and shine. Wake up, God's people. Wake up in the name of Jesus. Now, the next point I want to share with you is point five, the scorpion. I saw a scorpion on the floor. I saw a cat and a dragon. And these things were right there where my son would step down once he wake up. He would step right into the midst of those things. And so I was to warn him. So I am warning you of what the Lord is saying by the Holy Spirit. I am warning you what is before you as you wake up in the name of Jesus. The first symbol was the scorpion. That represents sin nature. Now, Galatians 5:19 through 21 says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Do not cut that radio off. Do not disconnect from this website. Don't do it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. Again, Galatians 5:19-21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurities and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fit of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, friction and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the likes. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I would recommend that you go back and you look at each word, study it, know its meaning, because something may be going on with you. Amen. Don't cut this off. In the name of Jesus. Now, the next symbol was the cat. The cat represents an unteachable spirit. Now, I was going through the website, and one day I saw this, and I was like, ooh, Jesus, this is it. And this is a word of knowledge. And so I'm going to share this with you regarding the unteachable spirit. It is written here. It says, my children, some have an unteachable spirit. They refuse instructions. That is why they cannot progress and don't accept the truth. They rather compromise, accept lies, and are in darkness. The one who always tries to justify wickedness has an unteachable spirit, does not want to accept the truth to be set free, and will stay unteachable until he or she repents of it. My Holy Spirit is holy and will teach you holiness if you surrender yourselves and submit to my spirit to guide you into all truth. Those with an unteachable spirit do not listen or pay attention to my spirit, but they follow their own will. They seek things their way, not mine. Did you hear that? They seek things their way, not mine. Those who are led by my spirit, they are my beloved sons and daughters. They are teachable. Are you? If you do not repent, you will perish in your ignorance. You will not come to the knowledge of the truth. That is why so many do not hear my voice and follow me, because of an unteachable spirit. They are wickedly stubborn. Some don't want to hear my voice for themselves, nor do they want to listen to my spirit to teach them the truth. They always know better, arguing with the truth to try to justify their wickedness with lies. They reject my wisdom and causes their own downfall. Ask me to search your heart to see if there is any unteachable spirit in you, because it will be forever too late if you don't. My goodness. Now that's right on point when it talks about an unteachable spirit. So ask God to search your heart, because you don't want to be operating in an unteachable spirit. Now my next point is the dragon. That dragon represents Satan, the tempter. And I was looking at Job 1 6 through 7. And it is written, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. So Satan is going to tempt you. And the Bible says, James 4:7, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So don't do it. Whatever it may be, don't do it. You know it's wrong. You know it's not right. Don't do it. Amen. And lastly, regarding the symbols, I warned him to be alert. This is a warning to the body to wake up. First of all, to wake up, for your time has come, your light has come. Also, to expose sin nature, because you have to repent of it. To expose the spirit that hinders you and tries to cause you to justify sin nature. And then also to remind you that Satan's always right there looking for an opportunity to tempt you. Remember when he was tempting Jesus and it said he went away for an appointed time. He will always try to come back at one time or another to find to see if there's any weak space in you, a spot in you, to tempt you. Amen. Now faith is, do what you have been taught to do. Walk in that truth. Amen. All right, let's see here. You know, the plan of Satan is to derive you, to just cause you not to go into the purpose and the mission that God has called for you and set before you. Because the Bible says, God says, I know the thoughts I have for you, good, and of hope in the future. Now, God got plans for you. And Satan's mission is to keep you from walking in that. And also, his mission is to get you to worship him and not God. To glorify him and not God. And you know, some people don't realize this when they talking about the devil this, the devil that. Do you know that's glorifying him? Because you're giving him the recognition. Don't glorify him. Think about what God's doing and counter of what the devil may be doing. You know, talk about what God is doing. The devil may be tempting you. Oh, praise God. God has just given me such grace that I'm not falling into temptations. You're not giving the devil glory when you do it like that. So pay attention to how you're talking. Amen. You may have come out of a dark place. You may be in a dark place. And you may be getting ready to go into a dark place. But now faith is. Amen. You can make it through the dark place. And remember, how you act, how you, your character, it will determine how long you stay in your dark place. This is just something I believe. Because our characters reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to share this story about the green card. There was a young man that had married a young lady. She wasn't an American, but he was American, and so he wanted to get her processed for her green card. He goes to the agency that he's supposed to go to get that process started, and the person that he encountered was very rude and wasn't polite to him, and so he still was a humble person. He didn't try to argue with him. He didn't try to do anything. He just stayed humble, and he thought he had all the information. The person told him, "Oh, it's going to take 5 years," something like that. And he said, "Well, I thought it would take no. It's going to take so much time." And with that, this person that was very rude sent him off with all this information and stuff that he had to bring back. And so he comes back to the agency with all the information that he has, and sure and behold, he encounters the same individual. Because he encountered that individual was still just as ugly and wasn't patient, didn't show no compassion, no love, no nothing. But this man continued to be humble. He didn't go, "I'm going to pray for you. You're just as ugly as..." He didn't do none of that. He was humble. And what he did when he left that place was he prayed in secret for that man. And he continued to pray for that man. And it was like 2 weeks later, the young man gets a phone call from the agent that had been working with him, saying, "Your green card is ready." And he says, "Oh, I thought it was going to take such, such." He said, "You've been on my mind, and I wanted to get you off my mind, so I got this done, so I can get you off my mind." Now you see that that was the hand of God. Because this young man prayed in secret for this agent. And Proverbs 25:21-22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Amen. And this young man knew what to do concerning this agent, and that was to pray for him. Amen. Now, when I was in my dark place, I did what I knew to do. I didn't skip a beat. I went, when I found out a group was fasting and they were praying every morning, I jumped right on it. I would fast. I jumped into fasting and getting on the prayer line every morning. I did things that I knew to do. I didn't miss a beat when it came to going to prayer meetings, to Bible study, to the healing and deliverance services. I did not miss a beat. I did not call in. I didn't tell anybody, "I can't make it today. I just don't feel good. I'm sad. I'm down." I didn't do that. I kept doing what I knew to do. I surrounded myself with other people, and I didn't try to, go into a secluded, in seclusion. And then I surrendered everything to God. That was the hardest part, because it is those things that I feel like will fulfill me, and I feel like that I'm losing out, because if I surrender it to him, that I'm losing out. But I made up in my mind, "God, I just surrender everything to you. No matter what it is, I surrendered everything to God." And then last, again, I had given everything up to do the plan and purpose that when God was sending me in the dark place. I gave up everything. I gave up my job position. I gave up a home. I was established in a home, and I gave up a lot of things so that I can go into this project, because I knew this was God leading me here. I gave it all up. And when you understand something, you know how to handle it better. So if you understand that you're in a dark place, you know how to handle it. But when you don't understand where you're at and what's going on, you have a tendency to have a hard time and you're struggling. But God has given you clarity and understanding about the dark place. Remember, it determines how you act and how you respond will determine how long you stay in the dark place. And remember, your character is to reflect the character of Jesus. So when you understand that, it makes it easier for you as you're going through your trial, your tribulation, your dark place. Amen. You know, I know how to cut hair. I'm good at cutting hair. And because I know how to angle the hair when I want to make a certain style, cut out a certain style or something like that, I'm comfortable in the process of cutting that hairstyle. And that's the same thing about when you're going through trials and tribulations. Because you know how, you know the word is in you, you're comfortable. You begin to just rest in God. And there was one young man, he had went in the hospital and he became sepsis. And it was right after I had taught this word and he had grasped this word. And then he was hit hard and he had went into the hospital and he was very, very sick, deathly sick. And he said to the Lord, "Okay, Lord, this is a trial. It's just a dark place. And it just determines how long I'm going to be here based on how I respond to this. And I know that you are in control, and I'm putting it all in your hand. Let's just have your way, Lord." And during that time, there was a person that got sick that was well known, Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali had the same thing during the same time that he got sick. And Muhammad Ali deceased, but he lived. He did live. By the grace of God, he lived. And he was very, very sick. He came out of the hospital within, I believe it was 3 or 4 days. He was already out. That is nobody but God. And he made up in his mind, because he was familiar with what was going on. This was a dark place. This was a trial. This was a tribulation that I had to go through. And now I'm just going to rest in God, because he's the one that's in control of my life. And so that was a beautiful testimony when he shared that with me. And when he came out the hospital. And we give God the glory. We give God all the honor. We just praise him on how he just moves. Signs and wonders do follow them that believe. And you know, there's a prayer that I prayed before this word. And I had asked the Father, according to Hebrews 2:4, "Father, I ask that you also testify to this word by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to your will, in Jesus' name." And God did just that. Hallelujah. Now, God has a formula for every person as they're going through their trial and tribulation. But how are you going to understand what your formula is if you're not getting in his presence and spending that time with him, getting in his word? That's the only way you're going to find out what the formula is for the situation you're going through at the time. Amen? Because everything may not be the word that I may have, may not be the word that you need for the trial and tribulation you're going through. But it's your responsibility to get before the Lord and find out what he has for you. Your formula. Amen. Some people say your strategy. Amen. And lastly, I just pray that by the Holy Spirit, that this word will be sealed in your heart. In the name of Jesus, that the hijacking spirit would not be able to come along and steal what God has placed in your heart today. And let me tell you about the hijacking spirit. I had a vision and I was in my car. My car door wasn't locked. And I'm backing out of this place. And a man walks up behind me and he jumps in the car. And I'm fighting him off in the car. But I was able to get him out of the car. And then later that day when I was sharing this word, I shared the same thing with everybody in the congregation. And you know, it was so wild that my nephew then says, "Something like that happened to us the other day." And he began to share his testimony of what happened. They were at a Sonic, and while they were sitting at the Sonic, they had the 3 grandchildren in the back seat, and my sister-in-law was sitting in the front seat with my nephew, and they didn't have the car doors locked. And they saw the police going, and they heard a helicopter flying around, but they thought nothing of it. And as they were sitting there making their order, a man jumps in the back seat with the kids. And my sister-in-law turns around and she says, "Frankie, do you know him?" And my nephew says, "My friend." You know, and I believe that was the wisdom of God that kept him cool, calm, and collective in that situation. And then the man, he didn't act funny or anything like that. Because who would have known what he would have done in the back seat of that car with those kids? And so the man then says to Frankie, "Say, man, take me over here." And Frankie just drives him where he want to go and he drops him off. And my sister-in-law, she kept her eyes on him because something just wasn't right in her heart. And when they dropped him off, then she turns to Frankie and said, "Frankie, where you know him from?" Frankie said, "I never seen him a day in my life. But to God be the glory." Because God kept him calm and cool, that no harm came to those children in that back seat. No harm came to them in that car. So, you know, the enemy will come in and try to steal from you when you're least expected. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit to seal this word in your heart. And when the time comes that you have to go through, you will be familiar with it and you'll be able to just relax in God and say, "God, this is in your hands and I trust you." Acknowledge him in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will bless you and keep you. We all have to go through something for the strengthening and the training and the development of our faith in Christ Jesus. And when we look back, we do give God glory. Because I would not have changed a thing. It was a hard trial, but I wouldn't change it because he was with me through it all. Well, God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.